Taisus regarding Binyan Mikalim, Rashi Anardaf and Rashi earlier also writes the Farish that there's no Binyan Mikalim at all. Rashi doesn't mean, and Taisus had three kashas against Rashi. We saw, where was the Taisus? We saw Taisus on Kuf Beis on a base, but they had three kashas. So we went through each one of the sources. The one kasha was from Rav on Daf Kuf Beis on a base. So the Vilna Gaon says that Rashi holds that it's a machloikis amarayim, and he passes like the other opinion, as a machloikis in different gemaras. Then there was another kasha from Erev and Daf Lamed Hey. So Rashi and Erev and Daf Lamed Hey distinguish between a kli maxig memso as opposed to a smaller size kli. If the kli is so gigantic, it's a kli eitz abo b'mida, it's not a kakasume, it's not some of the areas are kosher like kli glolim, kli abonim, kli adom, and not mekabel tumah. The Rambam writes that it's not mekabel tumah because it's called a holim. And we said over that some achleikis Rashi and Tosfos on mem dalet amud beis on muchani, that's how the chidush Aran says pshat and Rashi. The Rashi Lishitosa writes in Erev and Daf Lamanei that that's called an ohel. It doesn't have to be mechuba. Rashi Shita, there's only binyan. The karka is not because it has to be mechuba, because the kli is not called a binyan. But if the thing is an ohel, then it is called binyan ohel. It is called the binyan. Then the third kasha was from the Gemara Daf Mem Zayin. Mem Zayin is where Rashi writes that there's no binyan bekelim. Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Rashi repeats it again. No binyan bekelim at all. So Tosfos says, what does Rashi do with the top line in Toka Chayv Chatas? If you tighten the screw, you chayv, it's a malach deraisa. So the Ran said on that Gemara that Toka Chayv Chatas, Mishumak Vapatish, not because of Boina. The problem was from Mafis Mursa, Oise Pesach. Mafis Mursa means if you make a Pesach, Oise Lahachnus Alahotzi. So the Gemara says, Chayin, Rashi always has two pshotim. Regarding the Chiyuv Pesach, Oisa Pesach has a Gemara that it's a Malacha. Which Malacha is it? The Rashi on Kuf Zayin and Aleph has the two Pshotim, but it's Bonah Makaba Patish. So how do you have Binyan by Adam? Adam is not an Ohel. So the answer was, there's a Gemara on Tzadik Hei, a Mishnah on Tzadik Dal on the base. Reb Leza says that there's Binyan Megadelis is Chai Mishav Bonah. Reb Leza holds that that's a Din Darais. The Gemara says, where's the Mocker? Because the Chumash says, "Va'yiben Hashem alkim esat zelat." So the Chumash says that there's binyan by Adam. Shaila is the Gemara Nida Memhei seems to say that the Chachamim disagree, and they understand the word "Va'yiben" miloshen havana, miloshen bina. Bina is seven nasan kodesh baruch liish yes minuish. That is not miloshen binyan at all. So that's a Shaila. So Rashi Panda learns that this sugya doesn't agree. The Chachamim only disagree with Reb Lezer about Megadelis, it's a detail machlokes, but in principle they do agree, according to the one day in Rashi and Kuf Zayin and Aleph, that there is an Isur Oisa Pesach for Adam, that's a Mishnah Nadius. Amap is Mursa, the Baruch Sharozim Oisim, Lachus Lapechayim, and Oisa Pesach, Tam Shim Boine, the Rashi has the one shot that there's Binyan for Adam, based on Rab Lezer's Pasuk. Either Chacham disagree, no, they only disagree on the details. They disagree by Megadelis, but in principle they agree that the terminology of binyan, the verb of binyan, can apply to others. There is binyan b'adam. There's still one kasha from the Gabbain. Rice on Tzadikei Amud Aleph, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta, 10 lines from the top, Tana Rabbanan, introduces a Tosefta. So it says, HaMegabbain is Chayev Chatos, and the Gemara says, Megabbain Chayev Mishum Boina. Megabbain Chayev Mishum Boina, that it's a Toldo Bona. When you make cheese, when you take the particles of the milk solid particles and you put them all together and you make a clump of cheese out of it, so that's Chai Mishim Boin, and Tanisa Deraisa. So how is that binyan? That should be the same as binyan bekelim. Unless you say that Rashi holds, we don't pass them like that. Because the Gemara, that's a problematic braisa. The Mishnah discusses it. That Brisa, if you take a look on the Brisa, Tana Rabbanan has the gimel and brackets, so they've only gone gimel. Or it's the Mishpat gimel and brackets. There's Tana Rabbanan, HaCholev, HaMechabetz, HaMegabin. Cholev is also Machlekes, but the Cholev is the Brisa, the Rabbanan. Now we have the Tosfos on Ein Gimel and Beis. One day in Tosfos was that Cholev is Legamri with the Rabbanan, because Ein Dishel B'Gedulei Karka. So this time, the Reb Lezer in the Brisa says that it's a malacha deraisa b'shabbos chayv chatos, and he's at beyond of like aboim the Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer says all of these are deraisa. Chelev hamechabetz hamegabin hamechabed you sweep the floor hamerabetz haroidech al zvash you scrape off the honey from the beehive. So Reb Lazar holds that everything is derech, and the Chachamim say it's all midirabbanan. What's all midirabbanan? All the things in the Braisa, everybody is midirabbanan. Acholev, amchabit, amgabit, everything is midirabbanan. Or it only means the second half of the Braisa. So this is a big machlekes in the Rishayim. Some Rishayim hold that echad zeh, the Reisha and the Sefer. They're all midirabbanan. Everything is midirabbanan. So the Braisa divides them into two. Acholev, amchabit, amgabit, and you have so it means echadzeh means both the Reisha and the Sefer. Rashi writes echadzeh v'echadzeh, Shabbos and Yom Tov is only the Rabbanan. Doesn't mean both the Reisha and the Sefer is only the Rabbanan. But Sabbos Shalom learned echadzeh v'echadzeh, the first three and the last three, everything is only with the Rabbanan. Alright, if you say Megabin is only with the Rabbanan, so Zarab to Kasha and Rashi, Reb Lezer holds their eyes, not Achroi for Reb Lezer Shita, we don't pass like Reb Lezer. Like Rashi says, Rashi's maskim the Rav on Kuv Beis and Beis. The Rav holds that there is Binyan Mekelem. Rav is Befej. But Rashi holds that there's some of the other Gemaras and Shas that disagree, so we don't pass them like Rav. Here also could be. So Rashi holds we don't pass them like this Megabin. Maybe we hold that Megabin is only with Rabban. That's a shame. But that was the Machlekes Rashi and Taisa, the famous Machlekes, whether there's Binyan Mekelem or not. If you make a clean Chodesh, Rashi holds that it's an Issa deraisa, but instead of Bona, he holds that it's an Issa Ramaka Bapatish. It's not an Issa Rabbonim. Taisus says, I said, Kli Mechadosh is an Issa Bona. There was a discussion, according to Taisus, that I said, Kli Mechadosh is an Issa Bona. If you take a Kli and you break it, will that be an Issa Soser? If you build a house, that's Bona. So if you knock down part of the house, that's Soser. So according to Tesis at this binyan bekelim, would you say who had binami that the stira bekelim? Most of the time, stira is going to be a metalkel, so we call it metalkel and sturim anyway. But then a hechetimtzer would going to be seisal menas lupin. So then it is mesakim. Then you would be chay. So would you say according to Shitas HaTesis that this binyan bekelim who had binami that the stira bekelim? Well, not necessarily totally zebizem. So the pashtus we usually assume that it goes hand in hand, goes together. That's the Pashtus in the Gemara and Erezin on Daf Lamed Hey, that the Tesis alluded to. The Tesis that we saw yesterday on Kuv Beis on the Bay, where Tesis had the three kashas against Rashi, that it's the favorite that there is Binyan Mekel. So one of the kashas was from the Sugi and Erezin, Daf Lamed Dalan on the Beis and Lamed Hamadal. So Lamed Dalan on the Beis and Erezin quotes a Mishnah that when you leave your Erede Tchumina, your Erede Chatzeris, you leave your Baksa Matzis or whatever. Speaking, the Erebe Kumin doesn't have to be a box of matzahs. Erebe Chateres has to be passed. And matzahs is the question, because Sfaradim say Mezainis on matzahs. Maybe Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva. Maybe matzahs are no good for the Sfaradim, maybe. Because Allah is Eim Rabin Ella be passed. Erebe Chateres has to be dafke passed. Pashim Uvachim Olav HaMoitzi. Rabbi Kivega. If you eat enough, it is HaMoitzi. So basically, it is passed. Yeah. I don't remember what I'm not a Spartan. I don't remember what his maskana is, but Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva, and the regular tshuva is Rabbi Kivega, Chel Kalam. So he discusses the topic. Minig always was that they made an Erev Chatzeres with matzahs, because they make with chalas, it's going to get stale after a couple of weeks. It's going to get ruined. They didn't have freezers. They didn't have plastic bags. So if you leave a matzah, the only chashash was the matzah would be eaten by the mice. So they used to hang up, they used to make a hole in the matzah and hang it up on a string, suspended in the shul, so the mice wouldn't be able to get to it. The people wouldn't eat it. And it's dry anyway, so it gets a little drier, so the world doesn't come to an end. So it's still edible, and still roi l'achila. Once it becomes nifsim achila sodom, then it's no good for the erev chateres. So the din is erev chateres, you have to have the apkit pas. Pashim mevorchim olav hamoitz. That's mishnayis like that. The erev tchumen, it can be any food. It can be a plesh, you can tilt the fish, you can have a pickle, anything you want. So the Mishnah says in Erev and Daf Lamed Dalad on the Beis, when you make the Erev, so you have to leave your matzahs or whatever the food is, you have to leave it in a location where it's available, where it's accessible. So the Mishnah discusses, what if you left it in a migdol, you left it in a safe, and you lock the safe, and you can't get into the safe on Shabbos unless you break open the safe, unless you dynamite the safe. So that's a malocha. So you're not allowed to dynamite the safe. If it's only an Issa Derabbanan Kal, then if there would have been a big shas of chak, you would have been able to violate that Issa Derabbanan Kal Bein HaShmoshes. So that's called Roi L'Achila Bein HaShmoshes. Because we pass like Rebbe, there's a machlokes Rebbe and a Chachamim. we pass and call Davish and Mishum Shavuos like Gazavala Bein Ashmashes. At least Bein Ashmashes Atchila Shabbos. Bein Ashmashes Dab Shabbos and Machlekes Rashi and Taisus, and the Mishnah Brewer is Machmer. Machlekes and Achreinim also in Shulchan Aruch Magen Avraham and the Nesif Chaim. So the Mishnah Brewer is Machmer, the Bein Ashmashes of Sof Shabbos. But the Bein Ashmashes Atchila Shabbos we would be Mako if it would have been an Issa de Rabban and Kal. But if it's an Issa de Rabban and Chomer, so then we don't allow it. That's what Taisus says, and that's Mukach and Gemara and Shulchan Aruch like that. If it's an Issa de Rabban and Chomer, we wouldn't be Mako Bein Ashmashes. So the Gemara seems to say that there's a problem of breaking open the Migdal. That sounds like, just like this Binyan Bekelim, this Stira Bekelim. That's the Pasha B'Shamah. Let's say like Rashi, he's talking about such a gigantic Migdal in Matzik Memso, so that's not Binyan Bekelim. That's an Ohel. Okay, that's real Binyan. But the way Taisus proves from the Gemara is talking about a Migdal, a Kli, and Taisus proves from the Gemara that there's Binyan Bekelim, so the Pasha B'Shat, the stira, the Gemara doesn't really talk about being, the Gemara talks about stira, breaking the migdal, not creating a migdal, dynamiting the migdal, destroying the migdal. So Pashab Shat and Gemara, that this binyan became the stira became. So the Mishnah Brewer and Shin Yud Dalet, the two simonim in Shulchan Aruch, about bonen and about ohel, are Shin Yud Dalet and Shin Tezvot, one after the other. So one of the first Mishnah Brewers in Shin Yud Dalet quotes from the Vilna Goyen and the Bi'ur HaGro'ah, that he thinks that there's a mokum lachalek, that even if you follow Taisus that there's binyan bekelim, if you make a kli mechadosh, but if you take a perfect kli and you smash it, let's say salmanos livnos, he doesn't think that the steer became. The two don't have to go hand in hand. It's shayach that they're not. It's not a dog of the hifucha. It's not that whenever there's binyan, if you do the opposite, there's steer. Sometimes you can have binyan, and if you do the opposite, it won't be called steer. If you make a brand new kli, it's binyan. If you break the kli, it's not necessarily stira. There's a humorous kasha that some of the later achrayim toy with. That if the Gemara says megabin is an isur abonah, so it should be if you eat cheese, it should be an isur avsoisa. So humorous kasha: eating cheese is not the opposite of making cheese. Making cheese means you take the particles, you take the solid particles together, you remove all of the whey, all of the liquidy part, the vasodika part. And you put all the solid particles together and you make it into one big thing, like you take a lot of bricks together and you make a wall out of it. So you take all the particles and you stick them together, you clump them in together to one big lump of cheese. If you would have had a way to mix in water into cheese and make it back into milk, that would have been what to discuss. Maybe that's what I said. But that's not what you do when you eat the cheese. You don't do the opposite of the body. It's a stomach cloth kasha. But according to the facts are not true. Eating cheese is not the opposite of making cheese. But according to the Vilna Gaon, Kusha may correlate. So he holds that just because there's binyan by Kalim, it doesn't mean that there's a stira by Kalim. He thinks that it's not totally zemzem. We discussed a little bit. When you have these kind of malachas that seems to be opposites from each other, like Mechaba or Mavir. So before you look in the Gemara, you get the impression Mechaba and Mavir are opposite from each other. It's not at all true. The Gemara says, let's say Havora. Havora, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, if you heat metal till it glows, till it turns red, that's Havora. And what if you have glowing metal and you extinguish the flame, you dip it in water and you cool it off, is that Mechaba? So the Gemara says Beferish now. Mechaba doesn't mean to extinguish an age. Mechaba means to create a pechom, which charcoal. So if you have wooden material that's on fire and you extinguish the fire, now you have pechom, now you have charcoal. So if you plan to use the pechom for something, someone's going to dress up like a schwarzer, so he needs charcoal to paint his face or something like that. So then, some halacha tzricha legufa. If someone puts out the fire just in order to save fuel, doesn't want the logs to burn out, he wants to use the logs tomorrow, he doesn't need them to burn some more today. So then he's ain't tzricha legufa. He doesn't need the pechom. So it's beferish in the Gemara. The mechaba and mavir are not opposite. It's not a dove of a hifucha at all. In order to violate havara, you don't need any pechom. There's no need for any pechom. Havara means to make an esh, and mechaba doesn't mean to extinguish an esh. Mechaba means to create a pechom. If you plan to use the pechom, it'll be a melacha tzricha legufa. If you don't plan to use the pechom, it'll be a melacha shein tzricha legufa. That's why it's not a pella. We must have spoken already this year and previous years. We discussed, I think there's a Rashash on the first Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel. Rashash had a relative, Rabbi Nasha Ilya, who was supposed to be a super genius. Menashe Ilya was a malamed for little children, so he always lost his job because he was a big ilui. So when he would teach, he would give his own pshat, not like Rashi, not like Tosfos. So the parents, when they found out, he's giving originally, saying Rashi is wrong, Tosfos is wrong, so they used to fire him. He never had too much success in learning. And then years later, he lived in the days of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon thought that he was a genius. He liked his original pshat, even though they were against Rashi and Tosfos. And a century later, when the Vilna Shas printed the Rabbi Nachmanel on the side, they found that a lot of his original interpretations were in the Rabbi Nachmanel. He wasn't aware. He didn't have the manuscript of Rabbi Nachmanel. So this Rabbi Menashe Ilya was a relative of the Rashash. So he quotes Sher Bisari, my relative Rabbi Menashe Ilya wrote a sefer Alfa Menashe. So he has a complicated chidush Torah. So he writes that his relative Rabbi Menashe Ilya assumes for David Pashut there is a machlokes hatanoim. This we did discuss a little bit. Why does the Torah single out Havara? If there are lametas of us malachas, so why was Havara singled out? So one time it says Havara lechalak yotzes, to teach you the principle of chiluk malachas l'shabbos, and the other time it says Havara lelav yotzes. They singled out malachas Havara. We learned it on Dafayin Amanal. They singled out Havara to say that the 38 malachas have misa and kareis and b'shoge kratos, and Havara only has a lav. It's different from the others. So Rabbi Menashe Ilya assumes if Havara only has lav, the mechaber is a chakal v'chaymer that should be. Mechaber means I undid the Havara. It's a dava v'hifucha, he assumes. So he assumes the dava pashu that if you hold like that tana, we don't pass like that tana. Because the Mishnah says, Ovis malachas abayim chasarachas, and it lists them all off, and the Gemara says, why does it say abayim chasarachas l'lamdach? Shemason kulam helamechas chayba kalachas v'yachas. So you chayb 39 chatos. According to that tana, Havara l'lav yot is only chayb 38. It would never be Chayv 39 because Havara doesn't have any chorus. You can't get Chayv. So our Mishnah is against that Tana. Who is it? Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds Havara l'lav yotzes and we don't pass him. Havara l'lav yotzes is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Nosnam Havara l'chalak yotzes. So we don't pass him like Rabbi Yossi. So the Shaila is though within Rabbi Yossi, whose opinion has not been accepted, does he only say this regarding Havara? What about Kibbutz? So Rabbi Menashe Ilya assumed that it's a Kavachaymer. If Havara l'lav yotzes, so certainly Mechaber l'lav yotzes. And there's such a tesis in the base also, a tesis that seems beferish like that. Then if Havar l'lav yotzes, Mechab is certainly l'lav yotzes. So the Rashash writes, he doesn't attack, he doesn't jump, I don't think he jumps on the tesis, he just jumps on his cousin. Rabbi Menashe Ilya. So he says, with all due respect, the son often a Gemara increases faket. The Gemara says, I want to mechate b'gecholim. If you poke around in the coals, some of the coals that are on top that are glowing, that are red, so now they'll be on the bottom. They'll be burning hot, but they won't be. They'll be hot. They'll be very hot. You burn yourself, but they won't be red anymore. Some of the coals that were on the bottom that were black, now that you put them on top and there's more air, there's more oxygen, so they'll start glowing. They'll become red. So the Gemara says, whenever you chayt to be gecholim, you chayv shtayim, you chayv tu chatoz, if you did it b'shegik. Achas mishum mechabe, v'achas mishum mavir. And one Tana disagrees, says only Chayv Achas. So the Gemara says, Chayv Achas? What happens to the principle of Chilik Malachas? What, the Tana disagrees with the Klal of Chilik Malachas? The Gemara says, no, that Tana holds you only Chayv Achas Mishum Mechabe. You're not Chayv Mishum Ma because Havar Lalav Yotzes. But when you are Chayv Mechabe, so it's an offering Gemara, then Mechabe has chorus. Even though you hold Havar Lalav Yotzes, there's only a Lav on Havara, but on Kibbutz there's real chorus and there's real Nisa. Kibbutz, the whole works. Why? The answer is, the Nishkin Kalvachaymer. If Havar l'lav yotzes Kalvachaymer, then Mechab. Mechab is a totally different malacha. It's not a dove of the Hifuchai. Mechab means creating pechom. It has nothing to do with extinguishing the flame. You can't create pechom unless the thing is on fire and you extinguish the flame. But that's not the essence of the malacha, the Kibbutz. The essence of the malacha is the Yitziris HaPechom, and that's why the Tanoim have a machlokes where the malacha Shem Tzvicha Leguf is the right to the Rabbanu. When you do Mechabe, you don't plan to use the Pechom. They all agree that's a malacha Shem Tzvicha Leguf, because the essence of the malacha really is creating the Pechom. That's what we discussed about Kosev and Mochek. I think we discussed it. Is Mochek really the opposite from Kosev? Kosev means you create Oisius or a tzura, you make a picture, mechik means you destroy the tzura, you destroy the oisius. No. We had the Rosh quoted at the Sefta, that if you have a pinkos, sheyesh oleh ha-shaiva, if you have some parchment, paper, whatever, and you have wax poured on it, and because the wax is stuck on the paper or the parchment, you can't write over it, you can't write on the wax. So somebody scrapes off the Shaiva, in order to enable himself, in order to enable somebody to write on the parchment or on the paper below. So that there's no writing at all on the thing. I have a piece of parchment that doesn't lend itself to ksiva because of the fact that it has this wax layer of wax on it. So whoever peels off and removes all the wax is chai mishum mochek. What mochek? What did he do? He didn't do any mechika and any ksav and any tzura. The answer is that's not the definition of mechika. It's not a dover v'hifucha. Mechika means hachana l'ksiva. A different word, hachana l'ksiva. And that was the shadow that we had in the Tosfos, kosher v'amatir. Tosfos and the Mishnah and Gimel and Aleph had a discussion. Is matir, that's going to come up again in our Gemara. We're still not in another couple of minutes. Matir means to undo a kesher, or matir means hachana l'ksira. What if a person is matir and it's not mekalkel? By untying or not, everything is now perfect. Let's say somebody has a tzitzis and all this, they put the tzitzis in the washing machine and they tied up all the strings together in a gigantic knot in order that they won't, all the strings that won't tear apart. And then after you finish washing all of the tzitzis, the arba kamtzis, now I want to untie. So when you untie the knot, it's not matir al manos liksher. I untie the tzitzis, I separate them, and now it's a good pair of tzitzis. So that's, he's matir, and that's nesakim by being matir. So do you need matir al manos liksher? The definition of matir is not to undo a kesher, but you got to do it by ifen shom nesakim, as opposed to mekalkol. That's the definition. They say no. The definition of matir is hachon al kshira. So if you untie a knot, and you accomplish a tikkun by that, it could be that by definition there's no malacha. So those were the 2 days in Tosfos. This is a shaila. There are several malachas in the list that sound as if they're dover v'hifuchai, and that's really questionable if that's true. Are they really dover v'hifuchai? Let's say kosher. Kosher, it's interesting. The two great Hasidic rebbes that the Misnagdim are familiar with, the Sfasenis, has on the sugya of kosher, next sugya, and the Avnei Nezer, they both raise the same, they both push for the same thing, and then they both wake up afterwards, but it's against the Ramah. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch says not so. They're both pushing to say that kosher, the definition of kosher is if you have two strings and you tie them together, you mechaba yachad, two things, are they kosher? What if I have one string and I make a knot at the end of the string? A lot of people make knots at the end of the tzitzis that the string shouldn't unravel. Because the tzitzis are shizurim, they have a lot of the tzitzis are kofel shmeina. The different opinions in Tosfos, there's a big machlekes in the Rishonim whether the chuti tzitzis have to be shizurim, that they have to be twined. What if you have a single thread? So the tzitzis is that good. The Rabbi Natam, in the introduction to the Sefer Yosher, the Rabbi Natam, he wrote an introduction. So he writes that this is what prompted him to write his Sefer Yosher. That his chaverim said he should write down all of his chidushim and especially his shita on tzitzis shizurim. Says the machlekes of Hashanah, how to read a gemara in the last parak in Eretz. The guy's walking in the street and he finds a tefillin in the garbage. What if he finds tzitzis in the garbage? Does he have a right to assume that he finds string in the garbage? Does he have a right to assume that this was made lishma and he can use it for tzitzis? Or maybe it's just a spool of thread that they sold in a 5 and 10 cent store, on a 99 cent store. You don't have any 5 and 10 cent stores anymore. So do you have a right to assume? So the Gemara says it depends whether shizurim or not. If it's coupled of shmoyne dik strings, then it must be that it sits as which mishugin a goy would be interested in making such funny kind of strings. So the pashat pshat in the Gemara is that chutei tzitzis have to be shizurim. And other rishonim disagree. They say that that's not pshat in the Gemara. So Rabbi Natam writes in the introduction to the Sefer Yosha, that's one of the things that prompted him to write his chiddush, his sefer. His chidushim, because his chaverim wanted to know the makaris for all of his original shitas. So we're machmar on that. We always have tzitzis and shizurim. There are different opinions. How much shizurim does it have to be? Just two strings twined one against the other, or do you learn it after the Mishnah? It has to be six, or does it have to be eight? So most people are machmar. You get kofel shmeina dika strings for the tzitzis. So the strings are twined together. You have eight very thin threads that are twined together. So what do you do if they start untwining? So you're not going to have shizurim anymore. So that's why many have a minik to make a knot at the end of the string that it should hold together. And other achrayim said that it's never kemoisif alak shorim, that it's a problem bal taisif, and they recommend you shouldn't make such knots. Okay. So the Behetim quote those who recommend bedavki should make knots, and those who recommend bedavki should not make knots. Fine. So the shaila is, if a person makes such a knot at the end, is that a violation? Is that a violation of kosher? So the sasemis with the avnei nezer, they're both pushing in the same direction. They both think that it shouldn't be. I don't know what. It would never have occurred to me. I don't know why their mind would think like that. They're both pushing in the same direction. That by definition, that should not be kosher. Kosher means you combine two separate things together, i.e. kosher. But if you're tying the same thing together,
I don't know.
That's what the Basemis, yeah.
It
says
you have to make a
kesher at
the
end. So they learned that you make a kesher on one piece, therefore you're not over kesher. Right. Okay. So let's assume like this. So they both quote, after they give their whole presentation, they both go, but what can we do? The Ramah quotes from the Smag that if you tie a knot at the end of the string, that's a kesher shel kayama. Normally, if you take two strings together, you make a knot. It's a kesher shenis shel kayama. Let's make a kesher agabi kesher. But if you only make one kesher, it's going to fall apart. It's not going to last for long at all. But if you have a knot tied at the end of one string, so then make one knot. It's already a kesher shel kayama. There's no need for a kesher agabi kesher. That's what the Ramah quotes from the Smag. Svasemis gives up. He says, sure, okay. The Ramah quotes, the Smag, I give up. The Avnei doesn't give up. He keeps on persisting. So he says, no, that's only the Smag Lishitos, and the Ram Lishitos would disagree. He makes a whole pilful. He thinks that half of the Rishonim maybe do agree. He says to me, he says, like, okay. So I was just wondering if one will adopt that position, that there's no malach of kosher if you tie a knot in one string. And what about Matir? Matir is also the same. Matir means the opposite of kosher. You take two things that were attached together like they kesher and you detach them, or maybe it just means to untie a knot. They don't discuss that. As you should assume their definition of kosher doesn't necessarily follow that there wouldn't be any matter. So this is a question. In the listing of the malachas and the nishmas, these that seem to be opposites from each other, are they really opposites? That's what it means. Are they double the fuchai? Some of them we know beferish are not opposites. Chab and Mab for sure are not opposites. Not really connected with each other at all. So that's the Vilna Goyen holds. By Bain and Sosa, he holds that it's not necessarily the same. Even if you adopt Shitas HaTosfos, that there's Binyan Mekelem if you make a Kli Mechadosh, but he thinks that Sosa wouldn't apply it all to Kelem. Okay. What does the Gemara have a kosher b'amatir? So the Gemara asks, all the malachas have to be from the Mishkan. Shir ben Mishkan hecha avoy, where do they have kosher? So the Gemara says, sheken kosherim b'yisedus aholim. They used to tie down the urios to the pegs. So the Gemara asks, akasha omalei abaye. Abaye frekta akasha. Hu kosher amanos lahatir hu. What do you mean kosher amanos lahatir? The Rashi says it's not shel kayoma. It has to be a kesher shel kayoma. This was not shel kayoma because they were traveling the whole time in the midbar. They were traveling. So the Avnei Nezer quotes that this in our Gemara, it's a machlokes Abaye v'Rava, Abaye v'Rabba, whoever the first speaker was. Here the Bach corrected that it's Rabba. Abai was a Talmud of Rabbi, so Mr. Talmud, they quote first Rabbi, the Rebbe says a comment, and Abai dings up with him. So Bayas and Nigamar Tzmachleikis, Abai v'Rabba, Abai v'Rabba, whatever. So he quotes, the Yerushalmi also has this Machleikis by Bona. In the Mishkan, is that called Binyan Shel Kayama? Because they erected the Mishkan, right? They put up the Mishkan, they're going to stay there as long as they're told to stay. So since they built it indefinitely, they tied down the areas to the pegs that were in the ground, the Yisedus Aholim. Since they made a kesher, they did it with an indefinite amount of time, so maybe that's called Shel Kayoma. Or should you say no, the Yerushalmi presents the other opinion, no, but they were told that they're traveling to Eretz Yisrael. This is a brief journey on the way to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to get to Eretz Yisrael as soon as possible. So since they knew they were traveling to Eretz Yisrael, so maybe every time that they put up the Mishkan, maybe it's called Eino Shel Kayom. So So this machlokes and the babli between Rabbah and Abaye is also a machlokes in Yerushalmi, two different amaroi. So if you hold that this is not called if you hold it because they're traveling territory Israel, so it's called Einushal Kayama. So you cannot learn out from that kesher. Elam Abaye, he says, must be a different. There must have been a different kosher. Shken or gerish and if the klam nimo kosher myso. They would do a kesher and the yerish.
Shouldn't this be a raya that buys something for 19
years? It's in the claim to go somewhere else. They spend one life for 19 years without making it. It's still not a kesher. No, but the pasuk, the Avnei Nezer pretends, the pasuk says, V'yesh asher hayo anan Hashem ala mishkan yomom, and then balayla they traveled. There is a pasuk that says, it says, Vayachnu bekodesh yomim rabim. So Rashi says 19 years. Rashi says there was one of the Membeis Masos in the 40 years that they were traveling in the Midbar, so they stayed off from 42 places. So obviously, there were some places where there were less than a year, 42 locations in 40 years. Obviously, some. So the pasuk says there was one place where they were for 19 years. Kodesh yomim rabim. Rashi makes a cheshbon 19 years something. And then the pasuk says v'yesh, and it once happened that Anan Hashem stopped in one location, Baboike, and then Ba'erev they left. So they were there for less than 24 hours. So they never knew when they were putting up the Mishkan how long they would be staying in this place. So one Amora holds that that's called Shalkayama. It may be for 15 years, it may be for 20 years. The other Amora holds no, since they know they're on their way to get there, it's Israel as fast as possible. And it may be today, maybe less than 24 hours. So that's called Eina Shal Kayam. So that's a machlokes Amarayim. Well, this is called the Yerushalmi has the machlokes by Goyin, and the Babli has the machlokes by Kosher. Is that called Shal Kayam, or is that called Eina Shal Kayam? So Abai says, no, must be something more permanent. The Urgi Yerish and Eskam Nia, they did a Kesha. So Amalei Rova, Teiratz, the Kosher, Mata Meikalamem. Okay, Kosher, you explain to me. That's a Kesha Shal Kayam. Where do you have Matir? And for the Gemara, the Chitaim of the Misram Le Trei Chute Kitri Behadi Hadodi. If you have not Trei Chute Kitri, Trei Kitri, two knots near each other. If you have one thread in the Yerios, they're made from a warp and a woof. There was a chassis in there going opposite directions. So if you have one thread that has two knots near each other, so that doesn't look good because the material is normally smooth. Over here you have, all right, so you have one knot in one place, but if you have another knot on the same thread a foot away, so that's not the kovadik, it's not nice. The chitay medim isram le tre kitri ba'adada, if you have two knots that are too close to each other, shori cha de kote cha, they would untie one and they would tie the other one. Hashta the same melech was known as kenneth and machmach kodesh bohu. He wouldn't do that, it can't be. Elo zaktesh ken tzarech alos and koshim and matir. What did they think before? Shari chad, v'kotu chad. What did that mean? So here there was the machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, some dafa and gimel, I'm not just how do you translate the words. So Rashi learns a strange pshat. Shari chad, they would untie one knot, because not v'kovedik to have two knots, and the other knot they would leave there. The kotachad does mean they would tie a knot. Kloimer. See the Rashi, six lines from the bottom. Kloimer. It doesn't mean what it says. The simple translation of kotachad means they would make a knot on the other one. So Rashi says kloimer doesn't mean to make a knot. Meiniach kemoshu. One knot they'll leave. One knot is not bad. But to have two knots on the same thread near each other, that doesn't look good at all. So the Gemara says, shorichad, the kotachad, they'll leave one. The thread will be won't be complete. If they have two knots on the same thread, so they'll untie one of the knots and they'll just leave it like that. The end of this thread will be hanging and the end of this thread will be loose. So that's when the Gemara says, that's ridiculous. If they melech boss of a dom, you don't do like that. If they melech ma'av l'chad kodesh bocha, you're certainly not going to do like that. But what did the Gemara think originally? You'll untie one and you'll only leave the other one. So Rashi learns in the Gemara that that's matir. Shalayamanos likshur, and the Gemara said, the Gemara thought that that is a malacha. Matir. Untying a knot, shalay almanas likshur, is a malacha because it's misaking. Because before it looked awful, there were two knots near each other, now there's only one knot, so now it's improved. So because I untied a knot, that matir is misaking, it's not a mikal, but it's not a matir almanas likshur. So Rashi seems to hold that you don't need matir almanas likshur. The Tosfos on the Mishnah was not happy. They quote the Rashi. They're not happy with the pshat. Because Rashi himself was the Pirish Amilas. Rashi was Matrik in the Loshan Gemara. The Kota Chadzak Rashi Kloimer, what it means to say is Miniach Kmoshu. Not that he ties one, he leaves one knot the way it was. He unties one knot, he leaves one knot. That's not what Kota means. So Tzai says it doesn't mean like that. If you have one thread that has two knots that are near each other, so you'll untie both of them, and then you'll pull the two threads near each other and you tie a new knot. So they're both Matirs. I untied knot A and knot B in order to make these two, pull the two strings together, two ends of the thread, and make a new knot with it. So that's Matir Almanas Liksha. Not that Matir Stam Kacha. Matir is a Malacha if it accomplishes a Tikkun. So he says things that maybe you have to have Dafkin Matir Almanas Liksha. That the definition of the Malacha of Matir is Hachana Likshir. Like we had the definition of the Malacha of Mochik means Hachana Likshir. It doesn't necessarily mean to destroy Ksav. It means to remove the shaiva from the pinkos. If you erase something in order to enable you to write something else, so that's a malacha mochik. Not just if you erase something, that's not mechika. If you erase it, now you can write something else instead. That's hachana l'ksivim. So that was the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. The Gemara rejected it because it can't be. It's not the kavadik. But the Gemara didn't reject it because by definition it's not matir. So that was the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What is it that the Gemara suggested over here? Elamar Rava. So Rava is not happy with Abaye's suggestion. In Yisram Leitrei Kitchi Ba'ad Adodi. Elamar Rava. Rava thinks that the pshat is Shkein Tzarech Halos and Koshim and Matir. They went, when they went to the Tzarech Halos, that's what the Gemara says on the next daf, and I inhamed Aleph about 15 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara quotes that Tosefta Tana Rabbana Hatzot Chalazon is Chayef. It's a Malach of Tzeda. Why did they say Hatzot Chalazon? That was the original Tzeda in the Mishkan, was that they were Tzot Chalazon. That they were Tzot Chalazon. So the Gemara says when they were Tzot Chalazon, that's a Hachana, an advance of Hachana to trap the Chalazon. Then to squeeze out the chelas, and then to die the big kuna. That's a hechsher, the hechsher. That's way in advance. You learn that from the Mishkan, not only from Bona that they actually built the Mishkan. You learn that from the hachonas that they did. That they planted the vegetables in order to get the dye, in order to dye the big kuna, in order to dye the urias of the Mishkan. Or over here. They trap the halazon, that's tzeda on the halazon, in order to squeeze out the dye of the tcheles, in order to dye the big dekuna. All of this is part of Asiyas HaMishkan. Everything is preparation for the Mishkan.
If you hold the Mishkan, you're considering Kesher Shel Kayom, is it considered a Binyan Shel
Kayom? Yeah.
Same questions, do you have on the Kesher, do you have on the Binyan?
Right, the Yerushalmi has the same Achlekes by Binyan, not by Kesher. That's what the Eglei Tal quotes. The Yerushalmi has two different names, not Abai Rabbah, two different Amoraim and Yerushalmi have this machlokes by Baina. I don't know. So Yerushalmi gives an answer. Yes. They work on the Kasha. So what did the Gemara answer? Shkein Tzarech Halos and Koshrim Umatirim. What exactly did they do? What does Rashi write by us? Tosfos points out that Rashi later doesn't say the same as what he writes here. Rashi Bayos writes the second line from Vana. Shkovishos is Asus Ksham Sham. All nets to trap fish have a whole bunch of nuts. They're all Kesher Shel Kayom. A pomish sok lethal chutami reshizul hoisiv alzu. Mata mikan, the kosher mikan. The Rashi and our Gemara says, he doesn't translate the words of the Gemara literally, koshrim or matirim. He translates matirim the koshrim. Sounds like Rashi's learning his Mata Mikan, the Koshim Mikan. He unties. He has one net that's too big, and he has another net that's too small. So he unties a whole bunch of knots over here. The net is made knots, more knots, full of knots. He unties around a foot of knots from this one. Al-das, in order to tie it on to the other net, to make the other net a foot longer. So Rashi Bayos sounds like he's saying, you need Matir. Almanas Liksha, Matamikan, Vikoshimikan, just the opposite from the previous Rashi. And Tosfos over here quotes the Rashi from later on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. The Gemara Kuf Yud Aleph says that the Mishnah says that there's a malacha kosher matir. So Rashi on the Mishnah says, beginning of Eilik Shor. So the Mishnah says, the first Mishnah says in Eilik Shor, Kuf Yud Aleph Beis, Kishem Shu Chayev Al Kishuran, just like there's a malacha kosher, Kachu Chayev Al Heterim. If you untie the knots, it's a malacha matir. The Rashi quotes our Gemara that the Tzayodeh HaChalozon would sometimes have to finagle with the Rishosos, with the nets. He said, Kedei Lekatsron, sometimes there would be matir, period, semicolon, and sometimes there would be, oh, Kedei LeHachibon. Once in a while they would want to make one net longer, so then they would be kosher. They would tie on more. They had a whole bunch of shrimp, they tie on more. And sometimes this net is too long for our purposes, it's not useful, so they would be matir shalei amanos likshon. So there's a steer over here. The Rashi here, on Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis, the Rashi that Tosfos is quoting, so it just refers you to the Rashi. B'reish ha'okshrim pirish b'kuntris, pamim koshrim, v'pamim matirim. That sometimes you do matir alone, and that itself is a misakin as opposed to mikalka. It's not that you always need matir almanos liksha. That's not like Rashi and Ardaf, that Rashi takes the Lashon Gemara koshrim and matirim, and he drays it backwards. Rashi writes, he's matir mikan b'koshrim mikan. Sounds like the matir is almanos liksha. That's very strange. And the last line in this discussion, the final conclusion, where do you see that there was a malacha matir? Where do you see there was a malacha matir? So Rashi learns it has to be matir almanos likshar, and Tosfos goes to the other Rashi, no, it doesn't have to be, it's good even if it's matir shel almanos likshar. In the earlier line there was the same machlokes as Rashi and Tosfos, the line just before, and it's in the reverse direction, that Rashi and our Gemara learned kotachad, shorichad the kotachad. So Rashi learned shorichad, you just untie one knot, the kotachad you leave the other knot. So what's the matir? Matir shalam on affliction, just plain matir. And Tosfos didn't like that because it didn't fit into the Lashon HaGemara. So they say no, koshachad, you untie both, and then the kotachad, you tie the two together. So that this, the Tosfos contradict themselves, and the Rashi contradicts themselves. Very strange over here, no? On the first line, kotachad, shorichad v'kotachad, so that's the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what's the din, matir shlamanos liksha. On the final line, tzadech halos and kosh matim, the same machlokes, but in the opposite direction. I don't know what's going on here. We understand the both stud? Okay. Machlokes, what's the definition of the malacha of matir? But it means hachana l'kshira. So if you do kesher, if you do matir, even though it accomplishes wonders, it's marvelous that you did the matir, but if it's not a hachana l'kshira, so it is not a malacha. Do you say no? That to untie a knot is the definition of the malacha, except it has to be misakin. So if it's misakin, so you'll be chayiv for matir alone. It doesn't have to be almanos liksha. So that's what the Sfasemis raised an issue. How did the tzitz hold on the Ten Gadol tape? So Rashi and Chumash said they had a string that was tied on in the end. So how was it tied on? Except they assume that there was a hole in the tzitz. The Sfasemis assumed there was a hole in the tzitz on either end, and the string went through the hole, and they made a knot at the end, made it such a big fat knot that it wouldn't fall through the hole. It wouldn't go through the hole because it was too thick. So why didn't the Gemara say that that's the kosher that they had? Well, the Gemara have to go fishing around for a different kind of kosher. So that's a raya, huh? No. In the Asiyas HaMishkan. They had to make the Mishkan, they had to make the big Dekuna, yes. So why did the Gemara have to go fishing for the Tzadeh Halos, and they went fishing with the Tzadeh Halos and it's kosher? Want to say kosher from the big dekuna? So the Sfasemis wants to prove from this that that's not kosher. When you tie a knot against stuff just to have a big fat knot that it shouldn't go through a hole, maybe that's not kosher. there any way to distinguish and say that you only learn that from Asiyas HaMishkan, not from the Big Dekuna? Is that possible? So what was the Trelis? The Trelis was not only necessary for the Big Dekuna. The Trelis, I think, was necessary for the Urias also. So maybe you only learn that from Asiyas HaMishkan, maybe you don't learn that from Big Dekuna. And who says that's the way they made the kesher? I don't know. How do they have the Ruach HaKodesh to know? That's how they made the kesher. They had the string go through the hole, and then they made a big fat knot so it won't come back out. Maybe they pulled the string through and they tied it against itself. So that's, then you are being mechaber two things together. It's not, that's not just making a knot. If it's the way the Sfasemis assumes that the string went through a hole on either side of the tzitz was over here. On the forehead of the, where either the forehead or over here where the makam tefillin is, he wore the tzitz, and then it had two holes on the side, and then the string went through a hole and it made a thick knot, and the mele, the string couldn't fall out at all. That, how does he know that that's the way it was? Maybe they pulled the string through and through, and they tied it against itself, so you're holding the string against itself that it shouldn't fall out. Maybe that is called combining two things together. Not the same as making a string at the end of a knot. Making a knot at the end of a string. I don't know. You have to look in the Braisa of Asiyas HaMishkan. See how they have a long Braisa that gives you the details, what all of the Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash look like. Maybe they give you a better description of what the tzitz look like. Did we have any Rayas? Whether you learn that from Big Dekuna? To keep it in mind. Where was the tzeder? The tzeder was the tzadeh halozen. Yeah. Tzeder was the tzadeh halozen. Tesis on Ayin Heim and Aleph, Hatzot Halozen, the last two lines in Tesis raise an issue. But Tzorachiyun, the Yishalmi Mashmet, the Tzot Halozen, Lam Mechai Mishum Tzeder. Yishalmi seems to say, and you're not chayiv tzeda on chalozen. Why not? So they don't explain it why. So the Pnei Yeshua has his famous explanation. Pnei Yeshua says, he refers you to the Tosfos in the first parak. Tosfos in the first parak distinguishes, there's a Mishnah at the end of the first parak which he records a machlokes bisham and bisilu. What if he set up a system on Erev Shabbos that a malacha is going to begin on Erev Shabbos and continue into Shabbos? Let's say you have a sprinkler system and it's going to water the lawn. It begins to water the lawn on Erev Shabbos, it's going to continue into Shabbos. So you have cloth, you have material that's soaking in dye, and it starts to absorb the dye on Erev Shabbos, it's going to continue to do the malacha into Shabbos. So that's a machlekes b'shamim b'silul. We pass like b'silul that it's mutter. So one of the examples where they argue is, with a person mitzudo lachaya of yo fedogim on Erev Shabbos. So Bisham say you're not allowed to set up traps on Erev Shabbos that animals should get caught. Basilim atir, Basil say it is permissible. It's not the same. Because the Rambam, that's a terrace already, isn't it? Okay. That's a very terrace. I want to first say Akash, that'll be a terrace. The Rambam's opinion is that the Rambam has a Pirush HaMasechah Shabbos that they printed 70 years ago from Aksaviyat. That wasn't written in Arabic and wasn't written in Hebrew, it was written in Aramaic. Unusual. A Pirush HaRambam written in Aramaic. So the Rambam writes on this Mishnah based on a line in the Talmud Yerushalmi that the only time there's a Machlekes Bisham and Bisil is if you set up a system where the Melacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. It's watering the lawn on Erev Shabbos and it continues to water the lawn into Shabbos. The material is sitting in the dye on Erev Shabbos and it's absorbing the dye on Erev Shabbos and it continues to absorb more dye into Shabbos and it gets even deeper. The color gets even stronger, it gets even deeper. But what if you set up a system on a Shabbos clock where the malach is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos? So then the Rambam writes that even Basil would agree to Beishamah that is not allowed. Doesn't say whether they agree that it's an Issa Derais and Issa Derabanan. He says they agree probably an Issa Derabanan. That you're not allowed to set up a system on Erev Shabbos whereby the Malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. This was a big machlekes. Before years before they found before they printed this manuscript of the Rambam, the Pirush HaRambam. So this was the machlekes in Europe when they started making Shabbos clocks. They had to set up a system with a Shabbos clock that the light should go on in the middle of Shabbos. The lights go on in the beginning before Shabbos and they stay on. That's like lighting a candle. Candle after 4 hours, the candle goes out. So you light, you set up a system where you have electric bulbs that are burning from Erev Shabbos. They burn into Shabbos. So the bulb comes to an end based on the Shabbos clock. It's going to go out. It's going to die after a while. It's set up in such a way it's only going to last so long. What if you had a Shabbos clock that the light should go on in the middle of Shabbos? The lights are going to go on Shabbos morning at 10:30 in the morning. Is that permissible? So in Europe that was the machlekes, and most of the Rabbanim held Lahokil, and that was the accepted opinion. And then they printed this Pirush HaRambam on Masechta Shabbos, and they were surprised. The Rambam says, like the minority opinion, that even Beisil alone, you allow you to set up a system where the Malacha begins on Erev Shabbos. But to set up a system where it's going to absorb the dye and it's going to water the lawn on Erev Shabbos continues into Shabbos. But to set up a system where the Malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos, even Beisil would not allow it. So even after they found this Rambam, the Pirush HaRambam, Masechta Shabbos, the Rabbanim decided, look, we already voted against the Rambam 15 years earlier. They already decided, most of the Rabbanim held against the Rambam. And this Ksaviyad was unknown of. So they left it like that. That's where Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer. He's not happy about all the Shabbos clocks. Setting up the system that everything, you run business as usual on Shabbos like on weekdays. So he thinks that if the Tanoim would be alive today, they would have asked all these Shabbos clocks. But they're not alive and they didn't ask Hashem. So he says, and the minig is lahakel. So he thinks that the minig is only lahakel on lights. The minig was only accepted lahakel on electric lights because it enhances quote Shabbos. Rather than sit in the dark, so you have the lights on. But to have a Shabbos clock, to set up a system that a whole factory should run, they should manufacture sweaters on Shabbos, or you have there's some kind of a football game on TV. So you're not going to watch it Chalil on Shabbos, but you want to tape it so that after Shabbos you'll be able to watch. So you set up your VCR on a Shabbos clock on Erev Shabbos that it should record this Choshev, a football game, so you'll be able to watch it on Sunday. So Ramosha thinks that that's not allowed. To do any other malacha that doesn't really enhance quote Shabbos, do a malacha to set up a system where the malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. That's what it is in effect. See, he thinks we should really be machma like the Rambam. He says the only minig lahakel was on electric lights that enhances quote Shabbos. That's why the minig developed that you make on it. Why do the electric lights enhance quote Shabbos? That's what we discussed. Why does it enhance quote Shabbos? Why don't you just leave the lights on the whole Shabbos? I think the answer is that years ago the people were so poor, the religious Jews were so poor, they couldn't afford to leave the lights on the whole Shabbos. So, I don't know, could well be that with the Shabbos clock running, the whole Shabbos is going to cost the same money for electricity anyway. But they didn't think so. So they thought that if you're going to have a Shabbos clock that's going to control the lights will only be burning Leil Shabbos till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever, and then all night long is going to be off. Then the lights will go back on 11 o'clock in the morning for a couple of hours. So they thought that they would be saving money by that. The alternative would have been to leave the lights off, not to leave the lights on all 24 hours. The alternative would have been to leave the lights off. So this Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes that to enhance Kvod Shabbos, the minig was that you allow a Shabbos clock. We allow you to set up a system where the melacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. But if it doesn't enhance Kvod Shabbos, you don't have this real tzorach mitzvah. So then you should really be choshish for this Rambam. So this is Shaila. How can you say, like the Rambam, how is it nitan le'yomer that Beisil will only permit you to set up a malacha on Erev Shabbos when the malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos? What about ein parsa mitzudas chayav yofet dogim? The malacha doesn't, it only, each trap is only going to catch one animal. Once the animal gets caught, that's it. It's not going to catch anymore. So what do you mean? It caught animals on Erev Shabbos, going to catch more animals on Shabbos? No. Once it catches an animal, that's it. There's a trap that catches one deer, catches one wild buffalo, whatever. So once it catches the one buffalo, so it's caught. It's not going to catch another one. So it's obviously it's going to catch it on Shabbos. He's setting up a system where the malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. So how can the Rambam insist that that the Beisilos Kula only applies if the malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos? But to set up a system where the malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos, Beisil would not be matter. So the answer is no. In Parsa Mitzuda is Bichlau a story. Here, what does Taisus say on Ein Parsa Mitzuda? There's a little Taisus on Yud Zayinam and Beis. That's what the Pnei Yeshua quotes that Taisus to explain this Yerushalmi that Taisus quoted on Ein Hei Amid Aleph. The Taisus writes there, Afagab de Bishabas Nami Imperis Mitzuda Enachai Katos, Sheni Yodeya Im Yotzud Im Lav. If you set up a trap on Shabbos and an animal does get bit, the Taisus says, you're not chayiv on that. That's not Enachayv Chata. Sheni Yodeya Im Yotzud Im Lav. Russian attacks are a little strange. Any of them yotzan asa, maybe it's a hasra suffix, and maybe you can say you're not chayv misa. But they're not talking about the mezid, whether you're chayv misa, whether it's a hasra suffix, a hasra svada, they're talking chayv chatos. Chayv chatos means bishogging. So what do you mean, any of them yotzan in love? Any of them? So it's bishogging? So it's bishogging. So why shouldn't you be chayv chatos? It doesn't mean any of them, so it's not the mezid. It means that it's groma. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. If I set up a trap in such a way that an animal gets caught immediately as I'm holding on to it. Taisa says, that's what Taisa says. Kamakam gazu lifres mitzuda. You're not allowed to set up a trap. The pami much of the day chiv chaskon. Shebishas priisasa yilkoi. If you set a trap on Shabbos, and as you're setting the trap, the animal gets caught. As I'm holding on to the trap, the animal gets caught. That's a malacha gemura. I'm holding on to it, and the animal runs into the trap. So that's a koyach acham yurabo. We discussed it a little bit. If you do a malacha, let's say a person carries dalan amis b'shusaram, carries something and he puts it down dalan amis later. So that's mavid dalan amis b'shusaram. What if the person takes something, a ball, and he throws it? Dalan amis b'shusaram. So that's kocho. That's not the malacha begufo. That's a malacha bekocho. What if the wind is blowing and he throws the ball up? He doesn't throw the ball sideways. He throws the ball up while the wind is blowing, and he knows quite well the wind is going to blow the ball over there and it's going to make anach after Dalet Amos. So that's Koyach Acham Yoraboy. So the Pashab Shat and Nigmar is that you're chayiv. Pashab Shat is that in such a case that you're going to be chayiv. So that's not only on Mavar Dalet Amos Bishusarab and Koyach Acham Yoraboy is chayiv. On Seder is also like that. So let's say a person sets a trap. As he's setting the trap, he's holding on to the trap, an animal runs into it. He did half of the Seder. If he wouldn't have held the trap, the animal can run all at once, not going to be nitzo. But he can hold the trap all he wanted, the animal's not going to run, and it's also not going to be nitzo. You need the two. Someone has to hold on to the trap. It's a trap that doesn't stand by itself. Someone has to hold it like this. So if he's holding on to the trap and the animal runs in, so he's doing a malach ab Seder, the tzir of the koyach acham yorabar, the animal running in. So Taisus is mechadish. That is a malacha deraisa. Shebishas priisasa yilkoi. Then also the dechiyuv chatas. Then will be a malacha deraisa. The koyach acham yuraboy. The koyach acham over here is the animals running. Is mitzdarif to my fool of holding on to the trap to make a malacha deraisa because it's bevasachas. But let's say I set the trap and I go to shul. I set the trap on Shabbos morning and I walk away. I go to shul. And then later on, the animal runs in. So then it comes out that the koyach acham yuraboy only began. The animal is running around in the jungle, running in the forest, but it doesn't start running towards the trap until way later. So when it starts running towards the trap, I was already misalik yadi from the trap a long time ago. So that koyach acham is not mitzaref to me. The only time koyach acham is mitzaref to my pula, that is considered my malacha, is if it's miyad, immediately after I did, either simultaneously with my maisa, I'm holding onto a trap and the animal jumps in, or I set a trap and right afterwards the animal runs in. So then the kachacha is mitzarif to my maisa, and it'll be my malacha. But if I do my pula and I walk away, and later on the kachacha begins to function, so that's called groma. This is the Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin. Abchaim has this in his Sefer in Hilchas Shechinah, in a different context by Nezikin. So Abchaim quotes by Gemara Sanhedrin, if you tie somebody up in the Sahara Desert and the sun is so hot, it beats down on him and it burns him to a crisp and it kills him. So if you tie him up, kofsa bechama, if you tie the guy up in the sun and the sun is beating on him already, except that 5 minutes of exposure is not going to kill him. An hour of exposure to the sun is going to kill him, but I tied him up in the sun. So kofsa bechama, and the chama already started to function on him, and then I go to sleep, I walk away, and the chama keeps on beating down and it burns him to death, then I'm chayev. But of kafso, in soif chama lova, the sun is moving, yeah, the earth is moving, the sun is moving, everything is moving, but it didn't begin yet. The sun didn't begin to relate to what I did. I tied the guy up over here, and it's soif chama lova, the sun is going to come later. A soif tzina lova, I tie someone up in another location where it's going to be freezing. So 5 minutes of exposure, 10 minutes of exposure to the freezing weather is not going to kill him. An hour's exposure to the freezing cold will kill him. So I tie him up in the cold weather, and it keeps on, and it continues to be cold. So that Chacham Yorbo does relate to me. But if Soif Tzina Lova, Soif Chama Lova, Soif Tzina Lova, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Dafayin Chen, so that's called Grama. So that's the definition that many poskim hold when they get to Grama, Grama Locha. The Gemara says later in Shabbos that the Torah only prohibits Malocha and Gram. That's the Gemara Kuf Chof on the base, 10 lines from the bottom. Achanami, the Gemara says, Tibla Saska Malocha, see who the Osa Grama Shori. The Gram Malocha is Mutam and Ator. There is a machlokes harishonim on this gemara. Gram malacha is mutar min ha'tor. Doesn't mean that it's mutar even with the rabbana. It doesn't mean no. With the rabbana it's aser. That's the shayla. All the grama gadgets, all the grama telephones, and the grama wheelchairs and so on. So Taisus sheet is Chazanish points out. Taisus sheet is that grama is mutar min ha'tor, mutar min rabbana. There's no issue grama. And there are more paskins like the Mordechai. The gemara only said grama is mutar min ha'tor, but it's aser with the rabbana. And the only time they allow it is b'makom d'leikah. If the house is burning down, you want to be matzel the whole house, and you shouldn't lose $500,000. The house is going to burn down. So b'makom hefsid merubah, b'makom chayla, b'makom mitzvah, then you make alon the grama. But shalom b'makom hefsid merubah, shalom b'makom tzara godel, then we would assume that's the p'sak ha'ramah based on the Mordechai. We'd assume that grama is also in the rabban. So that's a shalei. How do you determine when it's a grama and when it's a koach hacham yurabai? Because zara viruch misayaito is a malacha deraisa. And if I throw something up and the wind is blowing and I know the wind is going to be mavadal alamis bishus harabim, then I'm chayiv. That's a malacha al yidei. It's not even kocho fully. It's al yidei koach hacham yurabai. So on the one hand, we say koach hacham yurabai relates to me and it's my malacha. On the other hand, you say grama. Grama locha is mutam and atar. So when is it mutam and atar? When is it osam and atar? So that's according to Rav Chaim's distinction in the Sefer. The Chazanish writes the same as well. The distinction in the Nesivis has like this also. The distinction is, if the Koyach Acham Yorabai picks up, is the Koyach Acham functioning simultaneously with my Maisa, or does it begin immediately following my Maisa? Then it's a Hemshach of what I did. Then it's Mitztarif to me. And then it'll be a malacha deraisa. But if I do my ma'isa and I walk away, the kachach only begins to kick in afterwards, then there's no hemshechias. It doesn't connect, it doesn't link up with what I did. Then the kachach is called grama. Then there won't be an isa deraisa. The worst it can be is an isa derabbanan. There is a gemara in Baba Basra in the second paragraph about hasogas gvul. That you're not allowed to be masa gvul on someone else's parnas. A lot of dinim in the gemara. So the Gemara has one of the examples is Machikim Mitzudas Adag Ben Adag Kimlo Ritzus Adag. That they used to leave the fishermen, used to leave bait, used to leave dead fish, and the big fish ate up the little fish. So they used to leave dead fish that are not going to run away, and the big fish would see this, and then they were stupid, and they would run for the fish, and then they would get caught in the net. So the Gemara says that if a fisherman left the little fish as the bait for the big fish, and then another guy comes along and he grabs the fish. I invested money. I put the bait there and I put the nets and the ganze maisa. Then another guy comes after my nets accomplished to trap the fish. He comes, he rips my nets and he takes all of the fish. And I went to learn the base medish. I'm going to come back at night to collect all of my fish. So strictly speaking, I invested a lot of money, time and effort and energy and everything, but I wasn't cleaning the fish yet. So they're still hefker. The fish are basically still hefker. So what's wrong if someone else comes in here? So the Gemara said that's indecent. That's a masik vul on my panos. Since I laid out money, I put the bait there. So that's called machikim mitzudas sadag men adag kimelo rishus sadag. But since I put the bait there, so the other guy's not allowed to take it. Midi rabbonim. Midi rabbonim. Not really. Caleb Shalom and Makanas Labachal Malkum Sheikh with Shusan Lechem Fadiva box. And if fish would jump into the box, that would be one thing. So just to leave the nets, I don't think so.
Why is it different than calling an animal? If you try to call an animal and it comes, it's
maybe Kainos. Oh, so that's what the Ksai says, Akasha. Why isn't it Kainam in Atayra? Taisa says, Gemara says in the first parak in Kiddushim, one Tana says, you can only be kind of an elephant, even an elephant, you can only be kind of with Hagboho. So Gemara, how can you pick up an elephant? It's very difficult. So Gemara says, Bachavila is Moira. So what does it mean, Chavila is Moira? So Taisa says, Pshat is, you wave the branch on top of the elephant, the elephant's going to jump up in order to get it, so you made a Hagboho. But I didn't pick up the elephant. I encourage the elephant to jump up, so encouraging the elephant to jump up is also relates to me. If I make Agbor with the Korach Acham Yorboi, it's also Agbor, same thing Mashiach. The Gemara says in the first 13th edition, Kori lo behibo. If I whistle to the Behemah, you agree to sell me your Behemah, I whistle to the Behemah, and it comes towards me, so that's called the Kinyan Mashiach. But I didn't do the Mashiach, I didn't schlep it. If the animal is tied up at the end of the sea, and I schlep it, so that's Mashiach. I whistle to the animal that comes, that's a Mashiach Ayidei Koach Acham Yorboi. They see that Mashiach Ayidei Koach Acham Yorboi and Hagbo Ayidei Koach Acham Yorboi is good. So that's what the Ksoi says in Choshim Mishpat. Why shouldn't this be a Hagbo or a Mashiach? The big fish see the dead fish, the bait, and either they swim, some of them are going to be swimming up, that's going to be a Hagbo. Some of them are going to be swimming sideways, that's going to be a Mashiach. So why am I not kaina miyikir adin midina? Why is it only a takana midirabbanan about sagas bull? Nei daki shalom, it's not decent. Why isn't the kaina the fish like the case where he's kaina the elephant with hagbo? Let me tell you. So the nesivah says that that's the teretz. If I'm waving branches and while I'm waving the branches simultaneously with my waving the branches, the elephants are jumping up, then the karachachem. Muyurabai is mitzaref to me. The elephant jumps up while I'm waving the branches. I whistle to the animal, it comes to me immediately. Right after I whistle, it comes to me. But if I leave the bait in the river, in the net, and then I walk away, and then later the fish comes, and the koach acher of the fish swimming towards the dead fish, towards the bait, that kicks in later. It's not happening simultaneously with my mice. It doesn't even happen immediately following my mice. There's a long pause in between. So that's what the Nesidah said. That's called groma. That's not mitztarif to me. So that's chilek. That the Gemara really has that benegia to ritzicha. In Maseches Hanan, the gram ritzicha is not chai nisa, only ritzicha biadaim. So the Gemara distinguishes between kofsa bechama as opposed to sof chama loven. And Rachaim and the Chazon Ish have a benegia to nizikin also. When is it Grama Benazik and one is in Mazik Biadaim, also the same distinction. And here it's Benegeh to Hilcha Shabbos. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua quotes that Tesis Yudzayin Amabeis to explain this Yerushalmi on Daf, that Tesis quote on Daf Ayin Heh Amid Aleph. And the last two lines in Atzot Chalozim. Yerushalmi Mashmet Atzot Chalozim Lam Chaim Shum Tzedah. But the Babli says Mufurish, it's a Sefta, it's not a Babli. It's a Sefta says Atzot Chalozim Asai. So the answer is, there's nothing wrong with chalazin. Chalazin is an animal that people atzot. It's a very valuable animal. The Gemara says the chalas was very expensive because it's a rare thing. It's not so easy to come by. Rashi says that it only comes once every 70 years. How did Rashi write over here? Olachas l'shiv mshona. Rashi on the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says like that in Menachos when they talk about in Perakat Chalas, they talk about the chalazin. The Gemara says it only cups up to the dry land once every 7 years. It's very expensive stuff. So this is Yesh B'mina Nitzoy. This is a very valuable thing. There is Tzeid on Chalozin. So why do Yerushalmi say that there's no Tzeid? Adarab, the Babli holds that that's where the Tzeid was in the Mishkan, Tzat Chalozin. The answer is it depends how you do the Tzeid. If you take a net and you pull it through the water, or if you go scuba diving. If you go scuba diving, you go to the bottom of the ocean and then you find these Chalozinis and you grab them in the hand and then you go back up. That's Tzeda B'Yadayim. So of course that's Tzeda B'Chalozim. But if I set a Mitzuda and I go to sleep and then I come back 10 hours later and I find I caught a whole bunch of Chalozinis, so that's what the Yerushalmi says, that in such a case, that's what Taisa said, you don't need Yerushalmi. That's what Taisa said on Yud Zayin and Beis. Taisa said on their own, without a Yerushalmi, that's called Groma. That's not called the Koyach HaChamir, but it's not in Starif to me, because the Chalazinus didn't run in immediately after I set the trap. after I set the net. I set the net, and they were going at snail's pace. That's a shalom. What is a chalazin? What is a chalazin? So Rabbi Herzog had this chiddush that a chalazin is a snail. So it can't go anywhere. The snail can't go anywhere. So some of the contemporary rabbonim say that he's obviously dead wrong. How can it be that the chalazin is a snail? If the Gemara says atzot chalazin, it's chai mishum tzeda. And the Mishnah Berurah talks about this. What if you have a turtle? And turtle is going, it'll take him an hour to go from here to here. Turtle is going so slowly. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Achrayim that if you trap a turtle and you catch it, that's not tzeda because it's neat for the yomid, it's not running away. There's no tzeda on domestic animals. Let's say you have a puppy who's a pet. So someone comes and he holds on to the puppy on Shabbos. It's a question of handling Balei Chayim. But will you say that it's tzeda? No, it's a domesticated animal. No, there's no tzeda on a kitten, no tzeda on a puppy. It knows that it doesn't run away. There's tzeda on wild animals that are running around. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. There's no tzeda on a turtle. It can't run away anywhere. So that's what they tie now. How can Rabbi Herzog claim that the chalazon is a snail? It doesn't run away. So how can you have tzeda? So that's taka gut the taina. If the chalazon came up, Rashi says, Rashi quotes the Gemara, once every 70 years, oile la yabosha. Once every 70 years, the ocean or the sea throws these snails up on the dry land. Once it's on the dry land, it ain't going nowhere. So if you go and you catch a chalazon, that's not seita. That's like a turtle. But the other 69 and a half years, when it doesn't jump up, when it's not washed up on the top, and you have to go scuba diving on the bottom, so of course it's seita. It's not neat for the ocean. You have to go all the way to the bottom. You have to have an oxygen tank. And it's only an expert can go get it. So then it's going to be a problem of tzeda. It depends. Sometimes it will be tzeda. Sometimes it won't be tzeda. Like anything. Any animal. If it's neat to the yomid, so there's no tzeda. If it's wild, then there is going to be tzeda.
You know, I just want to learn that once every 70 years, it's grown up. It's laying on the beach, then it's not tzeda.
Okay. Oh, that's a good shot.
The Gemara Mava Kama is Mechalik between the Zikin and Shabbos. That Melech Smach Shabbos Yerchayim for Groma, and it's only for Koach Hachem Urubo. And the Gemara is specifically talking Mitzad Koach Hachem Urubo.
That Gemara is talking about Koach Hachem Urubo. So that Gemara says that Zoyre Beruch Mesayayta on Shabbos is a Malacha, that Koach Hachem Urubo by Zoyre is Chai. The question is, so that's the Dion in Mishayim and in Achrem, that Fikayam has a lot about that. Is it only by Zoyre? But does it apply to all the Lamatas of his Malachas? So we really assume that Koach Hachem Yoruba applies to all the Malachas. The Rambam has it by Seda. The Rambam has it, you have hunting dogs and they help you hunt. And Tosis said it also by Seda. If I hold on to the net and the animal runs in immediately, that's also Koach Hachem Yoruba. So Tosis said, then it'll be a deraisa. So getting back again, we said that the Mishnah, Lechore, Mishnah itself contradicts the Rambam. The Rambam wrote this Chiddush, like the minority opinion, before they found this manuscript. Minority opinion was that Beis Hillel only disagreed with Beis Shammai if the Malacha began on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. But if he set up a Shabbos clock that the light should go on in the middle of Shabbos, even Beis Hillel would agree that that you're not allowed to do. But it says in the Mishnah that Beis Hillel permit you to set up nets that are going to trap the animals. So it's not going to trap the animal right away, it's going to trap it lachazma. So isn't that an example where you set up a system that the malacha isn't going to begin until later? So don't you see beferish that Beis Hillel even amatir to set up a system where the malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos? Mestam, you have to say they're different. If the malacha is going to begin later, bechlal the whole thing is going to be a grom. It's not going to be any real issa deraisa at all. If he set up a system where the lights are going to go on, bevadois the lights are going to go on. So then there were those who asked it. And then it turned out that the Rambam, if it's authentic, if the manuscript was authentic, turns out that the Rambam in his Pirush HaMasechta Shabbos and this Mishnah agrees with the Machmirim. That if he set up a Shabbos clock, set up his system where bevadois there's a malacha going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. But here I set up a trap. May or may not happen. It may turn out that no animals will run in at all. So to begin with, it's only going to be a groma. It's a koach hachem urubo that didn't begin until later. It's not even a radois that it's going to happen. So in such a case, to begin with, you're not dealing with a deraisa at all. So there be silul allow even to set up the system where the thing may catch an animal in the middle of Shabbos. But to set up a system where the lights are going to go on, the VCR is going to film, make a copy of a video copy of a movie on TV or something, so that, according to the Rambam, is not allowed. That's not included in the Hetzer and the Mishnah. That's what we discussed. That's why there are those who argue the point. There was a Professor Lev who just passed away last week in Eretz Yisrael. He was the founder of Machon Lev, where they learn Torah half a day and they teach physics. They don't teach liberal arts. No philosophy, no big courses. They only teach science. So he did a lot of work. He wasn't a Pesach. He did a lot of work on the use of Chashmal B'Shabbos. He was involved in the, he was heavily involved in writing that section of the Encyclopedia Talmudit about the use of Chashmal on Shams. Then his, I think his latest book, that his name was Lev, so his book is called Marche Lev. His last sefer is called Marche Lev. So his latest sefer, he writes that he thinks that it's not permissible to send a fax, let's say an Erev Shabbos in New York in the afternoon, to send a fax to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to get printed out in Eretz Yisrael when Shabbos already. So you're doing a pe'ula b'chol, or the reverse, let's say someone should call on Matzoi Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael to America and leave a message on the machine. So if you assume that leaving a message on a machine is some kind of a malacha or another, so let's say I speak, I make a tape, or I cut a record. So the poskim in Europe, the Beis Yitzchak writes in his Chumash, in his days they didn't have tapes, but they had records. So he writes that he thinks in the Chumash al Shuvah Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, he was a Rav in Lemberg in the 1850s, I think. So he, that's Professor Levine's great grandfather. So he writes in his Chumash that he thinks that to put something on a record is a form of Ksiva Midirabbonim. Ksiva Minatar is when you write something that you can read. And he thinks that this is Ksiva Midirabbonim. So the quote that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach saw this, Beis Yitzchak, and he didn't think that he was correct. He said, why did he have to say that it's Ksiva Midirabbonim? Why didn't he say that it's Makabah Patish Deraisim? Before you made the tape or before you spoke into the record, it was a blank record. If you play it, nothing would come out. And now, all of a sudden, it starts singing a song and giving a lecture and a whole song and a dance and all my shit. It's useful. So I took a record that was not useful. I took a tape that was blank and I made a shear on it. So now, if you push the button, now it spits you back a shear. It gives you a whole song and a dance, all my shit. So Shlomo Zalman thought that it wasn't Stephen the Rabban. He thought that it was Makabah Patish Derais. But they generally assume that there's some kind of a malacha or another. Here's a malacha derais, a malacha derabbanan, to put some words onto a tape, to leave a message onto a tape, or to put some words onto a record, to record something. Either ksivim derabbanan, makabah patish derais. The shad is, what if someone in Eretz Yisrael, if they made Abdullah, wants to call America, and by us it's still Shabbos, they want to call America and leave a message on an answering machine. So they're doing a pu'ula b'chol, which is causing a malacha to begin in the middle of Shabbos in the location where the malacha is occurring. Malacha is occurring here in America. I'm going to send a fax on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, and it's going to be printed out in Eretz Yisrael when it's already Shabbos. So that's a shaila. So I think most assume that it's absolutely hetagom. And this Professor Lev thought he wasn't so convinced. He thought, and maybe this is like the Rambam says, that you're setting up a system, b'chol, then the malacha is beginning in the middle of Shabbos, because in the location where the malacha is occurring, it's now in the middle of Shabbos. True by you, it's chol. But in the location where it's getting printed out, it's in the middle of Shabbos. So there is room to be machmir. Turning it off is probably less than malocha shein tzvich legufa. If you have logs that are burning and you have pechum and you extinguish it and you don't plan to use the pechum, that's malocha shein tzvich legufa. But by the lights, the electrical lights, it's probably agachela shel mateches, not agachela shel lights. So the mechabe bechlal is no pechum. The Gemara says even if you would have held that ein tzvich legufa is deraisa, but over here there is no pechum to speak of. There is no pechum. So it's only mechabe midirabonim. Mechabe gachela, shel Mapeches, but the mamish is no pechem. That for sure is only the rabbanon. So it's true that it's only mechaba gachalish and mapeches. The maximum it can be is only the rabbanon. But it's still a problem. The turn off is also malacha. The only thing is that I think it's usually assumed like this: if you light a candle, so lachatchili, you know in advance the candle's only going to last for 5-6 hours, then 4 hours, then it's going to go out. So it's not that you set up this system that you're going to do mechaber on Shabbos. This candle that I lit only has the power to burn for so many hours. So the same over here. If I put on an electric bulb that starts to burn on Erev Shabbos, and it's on a Shabbos clock, then it's only going to burn until 2 o'clock in the morning, practically. So is that really called I set up a system that I'm going to cause mechaber on Shabbos? Or means I set up a system that the electric bulb is on. Normally an electric bulb burns forever till it conks out, till it platzes. Here I set up a system that it only has bekoyach to burn until 2 o'clock. And then... Isn't that like lighting a candle? So you have to light a candle that has power to burn for 25 hours. No. You light a little candle, I don't need it to burn for 25 hours. I want to go to sleep. So I light a candle, and the candle only has the koyach, the koyach.
You're allowed to set up the clock. You have to push a switch to set the clock up. You created a kibbutz.
Is that called creating a kibbutz? Is that called I made a bulb that's only going to burn for 10 hours? Maybe that's called this bulb is a funny bulb, only burns for 10 hours. Like in Eretz Yisrael, there's a problem that people ask every day. Someone is dying. So the shayla said they put them on a respirator. So once you put them on a respirator, then the pashta says you're not allowed to take them off of the respirator. You take them off the respirator, then you're killing them. So the shayla, does it make sense to put them on the respirator in the first place? So it's a difficult shayla. So in Eretz Yisrael, they solved the problem with the Shabbos clock. So if they put all these people on a respirator on a Shabbos clock, the respirator is only going to work for 24 hours. So then after 24 hours, so the doctors reassess the situation. So if they see that they're getting somewhere, so they put him on for another 24 hours on a respirator. So you're not going anywhere, so you leave him alone. He's dying. You don't have to turn off the respirator. It's going to go off by itself. That's not called turning it off. I only put him on the respirator for 24 hours, or for 12 hours in the first place. In America, they're not attuned, the American doctors, the government here is not attuned to the distinction between ritzicha bekum v'yaseh. Turning off the respirator is called ritzicha, because I kill him, because I don't get... He has oxygen, so I'm taking away the oxygen. As opposed to the guy dies in peace, I don't give him a respirator, so that's b'shevi al tasa. So we distinguish, the halacha distinguishes, that sometimes, there are more rights, that sometimes a person is so sick, he's holding in the middle of the process of dying, so there's no mitzvah to extend his life. So sometimes you don't have an obligation to give him a respirator, but you're not allowed to take him off of a respirator. So we distinguish. In American law, they don't distinguish like this. So that's why they didn't carry this over to America yet. The Shabbos clocks for the respirator. But look, it's the same as over there. The Shabbos clock by the respirator does mean that I set up a system, I'm going to kill him in another 24 hours. No? I only put him on a respirator in 24 hours. After 24 hours, not on a respirator. The same here. This is a bulb that's only going to burn for 6 hours, for 10 hours. Probably, the things are different too. Before it had one nigger, and now it has a totally different nigger. It has a speech, it has a drasha, whatever. It's a different story.
Yeah.
He is not here now. He's going to come later. He should be able to have to be mavashal Hashem. Shabbos, is that called grama? Is there? Many of the contemporary svarim write that whenever you arrange a system that a malacha occurs lachazman, that's called grama. So Soloveitchik thought that wasn't correct. He thought only if the Koach Achim Yoraboy didn't begin yet. But if the Koach Achim is functioning over here, so he thought that if I have the Shabbos clock is set and the oven is hooked up at the Shabbos clock, and the Shabbos clock is ticking away and it's all connected with each other. It's all one system. So he thought that's mamish. Yeah, he thought that's malocha gemura deraisa. He didn't think that's called grama. He was very upset why in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasi, he quotes those who are meikel about this, and he thought that it was terrible. So he didn't know who the author of the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasi was, so he thought it's some B'nai Akiva in it. He thought this B'nai Akiva is safer. What's wrong with B'nai Akiva? He was very upset with this svara. He thought it wasn't the correct definition of Grama. He thought that it's all connected. Whatever machine is hooked up, anything that's hooked up to a Shabbos clock, so that's not a malacha lachazman. That's it's all connected. So it's already functioning now. Yeah. So again, so the Gemara assumes that Seidas Hachalozon is in the Mishkan. Preparation, catching the halazon. That's what the Sfasemis is surprised. Say this, a halazon. There was a hachana before. Wait. He says it doesn't say in Chumash that they went fishing. He said whoever had a halazon donated. Whoever had trailer donated the trailer. It doesn't say that they went fishing. But the Gemara assumes that they had to go fishing for the halazon. The say this, a halazon was in the Mishkan. And tying the nets in order to catch the halazon is also in the Mishkan. The Gemara learns that kosher matir. From tying the nets, kosher matirim, shekain sari halazon kosher matirim. All this is considered having in Mishkan. It doesn't necessarily mean that it was in the big dekuna. It could be that they caught the halazon in order to dye the ureas, in order to dye the other parts. I think the other parts had also tchelos. No, we got to take a look. The tchelos was only big dekuna, or is in the ureas also? Got to look in the Chumash. In the ureas. So maybe the answer to the Sfasemis is Taina. Why not learn out from the Tzitz that they made or not? Maybe the answer is that Big Dikun is not the same as Mishkan. Maybe. Maybe you only learn out from the Mishkan. Possible. What does Moshe say about the Teifer Shtei Tzviris? The Mishnah says Teifer is one of the Malachas. That's an Av Malachas. Preg Markasha Beholo Akaima. We had a Machlokes yesterday and before Yom Kippur. Whether the Mishnah and Daf Kuv base that says there haklal kaloyt the malacha b'shabbos and malachim is kayemis that you need shel kayama, does it apply to all the malachas? Because it's shel kayama is based on the pasuk malach machshavas asra Torah, so it applies equally to all the malachas, and maybe it's only a local din in Bona. Oil aroy is the rabbanim. It's a din in kosev. It's a din in kosher. Kesher shel kayama is a din. Then maybe it's not a din in kol atar kol. But here I call upon the Gemara soon by tzira b'holo kaima. The Gemara assumes that by tzira sheina shel kayama you won't be chayiv, either because it's part of the universal din, the general din in all the lamatas malachas, they all need shel kayama, or it's a local din in Teifer, one or the other. The Gemara assumes for sure tzira, not shel kayama, is not chayiv. So to this, the Gemara says, "Behu shekashron." Only if he made a kesher at the end, so it will be shel kayama. So here, the Avnei Nezer has a long dissertation. The Rishonim quote the Sefer Yireim. He says the Rishonim have two versions of what the Sefer Yireim said. The Ran and the Smag have two different versions. Sefer Yireim was by the Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Elazar Nimitz. So Sefer Yireim says for this Gemara is a raya that you only chayev on kosher if you make a kesher agabi kesher shel kayama. If you only make one kesher, you're not chayev. Where is the raya? Where is the raya in this Gemara that you only chayv if you do a kesher shel kayama? So the Ran and the Smag have two versions of what the Yireim was driving at. So the Ran on our daf quotes the Yireim umikam lama. It's on page 64 in the Ran. It has the big letter, and the big word in the Ran is Hatofer. And two lines later, he has Zibra Maslo Shekoshron. Shekosh Shnei Rosh Echot. Mikan Lamad Rav Lezer Mimidzal. The Kosher Kesher Echot Loi Mechayes. Why? Because it's Ainim Iskayim. You could have said, the Ran does not say it. You could have said like this. The Gemara says, Hatofer Shtei Tfiris Boholo Kaimo. You need tzira shal kayama. So Rav Dinami, you need kesher shal kayama. So one kesher is ainu shal kayama. But that's not what Rav Lezer. The Rai of Rav Lezer is not from the first three words of Holo Kaimo. that just like you need shel kayama by tefira hu adinami, you need shel kayama by kesher. That's not his right. His right from the last three words, v'husha koshron. That's his right. So what's the right from v'husha koshron? Mikan lomen rav lezem imidzal, shekoshi kesherech loy mechayev, she'en imiskayim. V'i mechayev, not because v'holokayim, but from the end, v'i mechayev, if kesherech l'schayev came in the teif v'shtei tefiris lai mashkatz l'abalo kesher, teipik lai mishum kesher. So let him be chayev mishum kosher. Every case of tofer, shtei tefiris is going to be chayev anyway, because it's only shel kayoma if it's going to make a kesher at the end. So once he makes the kesher, so he's chayev mishum kosher. So what do you need to list off in the Mishnah tofer shtei tefiris? So must be elavada kidi amor v'hocha b'shelo kosher ala kesher echad askinan. So mitam kesher you're not chayev, but you'll only be chayev mitam tofer. So what exactly is the raya? Pray tell. What was the raya again? According to the way the Ran presents it, what was the raya? Kaven the tofer shtei tefiris lemechad. The Mishnah says tofer shtei tefiris. The Rambam says if you tofer many tefiris, that you don't need the v'husha koshron at the end. It's going to be shel kayama with that. But if you only did shtei tefiris, the Mishnah says that tofer shtei tefiris is also chayv. So that the Gemara says only on the condition that he makes a kesher at the end. So what's this chacham and nachamol? The I mechayev came in the tofer shtei tefiris lamashkach slaboloi kesher teipik leimishum kesher. Why don't you say it's a malacha anyway? So why don't you say enach enami? Maybe you're chayv shtayim. Maybe you are chayv mishum kesher. But the Mishnah tells you you're chayv shtayim. In addition to kesher, you also chayv mishum tofer. So you'll have to bring two chatos. Why does the Ran's, according to the Ran's version of Rav Lezer Mimitz, why is he assuming that that tebiklam mishum kesher? Maybe enach enami. Maybe you are chayv mishum kesher. Who says you're not? Maybe the Mishnah just says, in addition to kesher, you also chay mishum tofer. So the Avnei Nezer thinks that there are two versions in the Rishonim as to what the raya was. So he thinks that one version is that the assumption in the Mishnah is that you only chay b'achas. If you do all 39, then the Gemara says Yechayv Lamates Alafi Yechayv Lamates Chatoz Chilik Melochas. But it sounds from the Mishnah that if you do Zareyas only Chayv once, Yechorish only Chayv once, if you do Tofer you only Chayv once. So that's the Pele. How can it be? Built into Tofer is always going to be you're going to be Chayv Shtayim. So it must be no, that it's only one Kesher. Kesher Echad is not a Melochah Kosher, but the Kesher Echad is enough to make the Tofer into a Tzvira Shal Kayama, so you be Chayv Achas. That's when he has the whole discussion. What is the kesher? Is it a kesher against itself? Or is it a kesher against the other end? That's what he. That's how he introduces this whole discussion. Yeah. So the Avnei Nezer is not so enthused about this pshat. He says, look on the last two lines on Ayin Hey Amid Aleph. The Mishnah lists off one of the Lamed Tes Havas Melachos is Hashochei. Hashochet tzvi, hatzot tzvi, b'hashochto. The Gemara says Shechem mishum maichai. Why is he chai? Rav Ami mishum tzavea, Shmuel Ami mishum netilus neshama. Craig the Gemara, what do you mean? Mishum tzavea, mishum netilus neshama. Why? How can Rav say you only chai mishum tzavea? Tzavea is a different malacha, and shechet is a different malacha. Let him chai shtayim. The Gemara says you're right. Elaim azok azay, ap mishum tzavea. When it says in the Mishnah hashechto is chayiv. Whenever you shech the behemah, you chayiv shtayim. You chayiv once mishum netilus nusham b'shochet, and once mishum tzaveya. What kind of tzaveya? If he wants to sell the fresh meat, then he wants to show all the customers that it's fresh. So when the blood comes out right after the shechita, and it causes tzvi on all of the flesh, so that's chayiv mishum tzaveya. That's how the Gemara says. The nichalei, the one who shechts it is happy. The lisvis beis hashechita domo, the whole neck should get all full of blood that comes at the time of shechting, so that the customers will see kech the lechziu inshi. The people, the customers, shall see. But they should buy; they'll know that it's fresh meat. So Rav says on the Mishnah that Ashokhto is not only Chayim Mishim Ashokhto, Ashokhto is an innocent case. Not only Zayim Evetzach Leitzim Eschayim Shtayim Ahechet Timtze. There's a Hechet Timtze that Shochet alone is Chayim Shtayim. Shochet, if he's interested in selling it to the customers, and that's what he wants. Zichalei, the list is based on Shchita Domi. He wants that the neck should get all dirtied up with the dam. So then it's Chayim Mishum Tzaveya. You shouldn't say if you make tea on Shabbos. Why isn't that Tzaveya? Well, there's a Mishnah later. A person is preparing a food and he wants, it looks, it'll be, people enjoy the food if it, depending on what it looks like. So let's say you want to put in a little yolk of an egg in order that it should look yellow to him, that the people should enjoy eating it. They like that color. You want to put in a little ketchup, or you want to put in a little mustard or something in order to make it colorful. So the Rishonim developed a klal, Ein Tzviya Boichel. That's not called Tzaveh, that's called Hachanas Oichel. So the ask a kasha from this Gemara. Here the Gemara said Beferish. Rav Omer Mishum Tzaveh. So the answer is, when the customers are going to buy the meat, they're going to wash off all the blood. This blood is not enhancing the flavor of the food. The Gemara says in the last parak in Yuma, the blind people, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Kohelet, the blind people don't enjoy their food as much as people who are able to see. Because when you see the food, so you see, the saliva starts to develop in your tongue because of the way the food is so delicious. It looks so tasty. You smell it and you look at it. So if it's colorful, so then the Rishonim say, Ein Tzviya Boichlin. You see, not only tea. The tea is to give a flavor. So it happens also to give a color. If you would have the flavor with that, the color would also taste just as good. So that's for sure Ein Tzviya Boichlin. But even if you're putting in the yolk of the egg in order to make it colorful, that's my intention when I put in a tea bag in the water. I'm not interested in giving color. I'm only interested in giving flavor. But even if I'm putting in the yolk of the egg or the mustard or the mayonnaise or the ketchup in order to give color, that's also considered Ein Tzviya Boichlin, because the color enhances the pleasure that people have when they see colorful foods, so they start to salivate more. But over here, this color is only in order to trap the customers, that they should see that the meat is very fresh meat, that it still has the blood on the surface. And once the customer takes it home, it's going to wash off all the blood. It's, the blood is not to enhance the taste of the food. So he can't say Ein Tzviya Boichlin. So this is what the Avnei Nezer is not happy with, this version of Rav Lezer Mimitz. To say that the Gemara's kasha, that the Rav Lezer Mimitz's kasha was, if Uusha Koshron said built into every Teufel Shtetri is always going to be kosher, so why isn't it Chayv Shtayim? So he says, it will be Chayv Shtayim. Who says that it's not Chayv Shtayim? Rav says on Shochet that under normal conditions, on Shochet, not only Azayim Evetzach Leitz in our fancy case, just plain old Shechet is Chayv Shtayim. It's Chayv once Mishum Shechet and not Mishum Tzaveh. So why can't you say also over here that you're Chayv Shtayim? But this is one version in the Rishonim. Notwithstanding that, but in Nezer's time, this is one version. That the Rishonim quote Rav Lezer Mimitz said he understood that the Mishnah sounds like it's saying that you're not Chayv Shtayim on Teufel alone. Teufel alone is Chayv Achas. So how come it's not Chayv Shtayim? So the answer is, if you only did one Kesha. That's one version. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't get how is it that they're reading in the Tavka every Shlita is for the purpose of showing to somebody. When they're doing the Shlita to show to somebody, that's accomplishing two things. It's the same thing as doing in the tea of the
Tzart
the
eggs. I mean, it's not a Kesha.
They could have split that in without anybody paying attention.
Right. In the slaughterhouses today, in the system in America, when they shecht it, yes, yeah, so they wash everything off. No one is interested. So even Rob would say in our case that they're not Chayv Shtayim. He would say that they're Chayv Mishum Tzaveya. They're going to wash off all the blood. It's not Nichalei. Right. So he tainas against the Abnei. He says the Gemara never said according to Rob that every shechet is Chayv Shtayim. Just like Zayim of Tzach Leitzim is a special case, he Chayv Shtayim. But normal shechet, normal kotzer is only Chayv Achas, a normal shechet is only Chayv Achas. In America, where they shecht in the slaughterhouses, it wouldn't be Chayv Shtayim. If you have the old system, and the shechet is also interested, the lesser is based on Shchita Doma, so then it'll be Chayv Shtayim. That's a good taina. The Avnei Nezer had a taina against this version, so you besalik the taina. He says, it's not a taina. He says, you can't say pshat in the Mishnah, that the Rishonim said, Teufel Shtetri is only Chayv Mishim Teufel. is not chayiv shtayim. So that's one version that the Rishonim had, that they felt that Hatoifish, one version of Rav Lezer Nimitz, that they felt that Hatoifish Teitvir sounds like you're only Chayim Mishim Teifer and not Chayim Mishim Kosher, otherwise it should be Chayim Shtayim. So they thought it must be only one Kesher. Other Rishonim quote Rav Lezer Nimitz differently. They're assuming, like we discussed already a long time ago, it's a popular notion in Achrayim, and some of the Rishonim say so explicitly, that the only time he says Zomer V'tzach Leitzim Chayiv Shtayim, sometimes Yechayiv Shtayim, is if there are two accomplishments. So this accomplishment is one malacha, but that accomplishment is a different malacha. What if a person makes one, he does one pula, he does one accomplishment, and I have, and I should really be able to label this one accomplishment as a malacha for two good reasons. Let's say Merakeid. We had such a tesvis. Here, take a look in the tesis Ayin Gimel Amid Beis Mishum Zareya. The tesis quotes the Gemara in Perek Tolin on Kuf Lamed Ches. Mishama Mishumai Masrina Bei. Somebody is filtering out some water, filtering out some wine. So Borer is one malach in the list. Then Merakeid is not a malach in the list. Merakeid is if he sifts flour. So what if a person is filtering out wine or filtering out dirty water that he wouldn't drink the way it is, so contaminated water, whatever. So is it a told of bar or is it a told of marakit? So one opinion in Gemara says that they're both correct. If your master mishum bar is good, a master mishum marakit is good. What if your master that is bar and marakit? And if you do, what if you do bar and marakit behal mechad yichayv shtayim? What if you did mishamer and they warned him? Let's say, how can it be they want it? If a guy does mishamer, you don't see his chayv tu chatoes, because it could have either been a told of bor, or it could have just as well been a told of merake. So we're going to say it's a told of both. That's out of the question. That's what a lot of achrayim said. It can't be a told of both. There's only one accomplishment. It's either a told of a, or it's a told of b. It can't be chayv shtayim. The only time it's chayv shtayim is if there are two accomplishments. So that's what other Rishonim had a different version of this Rav Lezer Nimitz. That he was assuming on this Gemara, who shekoshron, that al pidin you're only chayev achas. If you did a tfirah, and this is necessary for tofer, you have to have kshira at the end, otherwise it's not shel kayoma. So you made one accomplishment of tfirah, so you only chayev achas. So that was the kasha that was bothering him. He would have been chayev achas anyway because of the kashran. So dami hacha the teifish tei tviris. He's chayev achas anyway because of the kashran. What are you going to say? No, like this is going to be chayev shtayim. He'll be chayev. No, he holds that you're not chayev shtayim since the tvira is not shal kayoma. Unless you're going to have a huf shekashran at the end, so it comes out that the tvira doesn't have a. It's not considered a significant tvira. Unless you have the kosher at the end. So this is considered one accomplishment. You did tefira. How can you say that you're chayiv shtayim? So that's what forced the Reb Lezer Nimitz to assume that it must be the kosher is only one kesher, and the only time you chayiv mishum kosher is if you do kesher agabi kesher. There's only one kesher, that's enough to solve the issue, to resolve the issue of not being shel kayoma, but it's not enough to be chayiv mishum, not enough to be chayiv mishum kosher. So from this, the Avnei Nezer has a whole development. There seem to be a few points of disagreement between these two versions of what Rav Lezer Nimitz and Sachacha was. His Sachacha was from the Huk Shekoshran. What was the Hachacha? That we assume that you're not Chayiv Shtayim? It cannot be the assumption that you're not Chayiv Shtayim? Each one of the Malachas and the Mishnah is only Chayiv Achas? Or that in this case, it couldn't be chayv shtayim because it's only one accomplishment. So he has a long arichas on the different points that they seem to be disagreeing upon. Then the Gemara raises the issue by Korea.
Isn't that only when it's one maaser? The idea of
The Gemara assumes that the tefira is incomplete. If it's not shel kayama, so the tefira is not complete unless you finish it off with the kesher. So the kesher is considered the gemara of the tefira. So he considers this. The Rishonim apparently assume that this is part of the same ma'isa. This is the way one does tefira. If you do gimel tefiras, many tefiras, then you don't need the kosher at the end. But if you only do atayfer shtei tefiras, then you gotta have the kosher at the end to complete the tefira. So that's what they assume, that it can't be chayv shtayim. Some Rishonim assume that it can't be chayv shtayim, because this is considered only one accomplishment. Then the Gemara wants to know where was the kriya in the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, in case there would be a worm that would eat into some of the material, so then there would have to be korea, the whole area around it. That was korea, almanas litva. Korea, almanas litva is fine. The Rambam writes that the ab malacha is by material, and then you have a tolda of tofer in korea by medabik niyoras yachad. If you glue together two pieces of paper, that's tofer. And if you have an envelope that's sealed and you separate the flap from the back, that'll be a violation of Korea. So that's a big discussion. If a person, Tosis had the discussion, what about Matir Shalei Almanas Likshur? What if you do Matir Shalei Almanas Likshur, but you accomplish something positive by that? Is that a Malachana? So that was the machlokes that Tosis said on the first mission. Then Rabbi Kivega raised an issue on the Tosis and on the Beis. What if a person, that's what Rabbi Kivega read the Tosis and we read the Tosis differently, what if he do Korea Shaloi Almanas Litvor, but if the Korea has a positive accomplishment? Is the definition of Korea Hachana Litvira? Well, not necessarily. It does not be Hachana Litvira. Korea per se is a malacha, provided that it's not mekalko. So the shaila is, let's say a person has a sealed envelope and he separates the glue in the back and then he separates the flap in the back in order to be able to get the letter out, in order to read it. So that's korea shaloi almanas litvor, but he accomplished something. Calls man that the envelope is sealed, he can't read the letter. Now that he opens up the flap in the back, so he is able to seal to read the letter. So that's a big machlokes, the Chacham Tzvi and other Acharonim, based on this Rambam. The Rambam said that gluing together two pieces of paper is tofer, and separating the glued pieces of paper is called korea. So would that be a malacha deraisa to open up an envelope, or would you say no, that that's korea shalei almanas litvor?
You rip it from the other side, but it's not glued.
If you rip it from the other side, that means Stam, I have a piece of paper and I rip it. Is tefira only if you have korea? Is korea only if you have two pieces of cloth that were attached together and I'm separating them? Or does korea even apply if it's originally, if it's one piece? Okay, is it korea by leather? Is it korea by piece of leather? That's the way the leather grows. It's originally in material, you always have threads. So whenever you korea, you're separating these threads from these threads. So they're really two different things. So that's the Avnei Nezer has such a chiddush. He claims that korea is only if you have two things that were attached and then you re-separate them. But if you have korea by or, that's his argument. He thinks that's not. And he says, why is it called Kriyas Yamsuf? Why isn't it called by Baku Amayim? Why did he call it in Talmudic literature Kriya? He says, because the Medrash says that Vayashav Hayam Le'eson Le'tanoi Tanai Hitzan Kodesh Bokham Aitha Bereshis, that when the world was created Milach Hatchila, the Yamsuf had two parts and it was re-separated. There were really two parts and they were re-separated. So that's why we call it in Talmudic literature Kriyas Yamsuf. It's a Korea, you're separating the two parts that were always separated from Sheshes Medrash. That's what he has a Chiddush. So the Mishnah Berurah disagrees with the whole story. He quotes an Afana Yerushalmi that says the Farish that if you tear leather, it's a violation of korea. The leather was one piece of leather, they're not two different pieces of leather. So that's an issue. That's the issue of defining each one of the malachas began just a century ago with the Avnei Nezer, with the Minchas Chinuch, with the latest forum. Before, in the days of the Rishonim, they didn't work too hard on this. It wasn't really discussed to give definitions. It's a modern concept. To define all the terms that you're working with, it's a modern concept. People in universities, when you take a course, you define the terms before you start discussing everything. That's a modern topic. Anyway, this is the issue by Korea. How do you define Malachas Korea? Okay, maybe we'll stop here.